it really fits well with the message, because we're in Galatians chapter 5, and it's that section of Scripture that we can begin seeing it as almost as a new law. When we see the fruit of the Spirit, we see the contrast of the flesh. Paul gives that, the acts of the sinful nature, but then he also then speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, and sometimes we can get that twisted, and we can begin thinking that we've shifted from one law-keeping to another law. And this isn't the case. If anything, it shows us that how we are free, God has truly set us free. The gospel of Galatians has been a message to those that were being trapped in legalism and trapped into a way of thinking that if I just do certain things, I will show God a righteousness. And Paul is saying there is no justification through law keeping. There's nothing you can do to set yourself in good standing with God. It is through faith in Christ alone, through God's work of sending His Son. His demonstration of His care for us is where we find this gospel. And the good news, when we come to a passage like this, and what we'll read today in Galatians chapter 5, we see as Paul points out the acts of the sinful nature, he contrasts that then with the work of the Holy Spirit. What will happen, what does happen in the life of a believer, what you can expect, how you walk in this freedom. We'll talk about that as we go through the message, and it'll be a shorter message. Then we won't go into as much detail, but it's one of those passages where it's so self-explanatory, but it's important for us to hear it. So let's pray, and then I'll read the scripture. Father in heaven, thank you that you know and you care. We thank you that you have demonstrated your love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We rejoice in the fact that we couldn't make you love us. You chose out of your own overflow of your own heart to love us and send your Son to redeem us and save us from our sins, to provide forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And if we know that we didn't earn this justification through our works, but only receive it through faith in Christ's work, that we also know that we're not kept in this faith through our own works. But you have blessed us with the greatest love gift of your Holy Spirit to live in us. The Spirit of Christ living in us, that we might display His glory in how we live and think each day. We thank you that you have not given us a new law, a new commands that we have to do this to earn your favor, but you have given us an expression of your love living inside of us. And as we walk according to the Spirit, we live out, we express the life of Christ which is in us. And yet we're humbled when we read, when we're about to read about the deeds of the sinful nature, the works of the flesh, how devastating it is to our self-pride, our self-love, because we know these things are true, that the best that our flesh can produce is death and destruction. Please remind us of these things that we might run to this gospel and take hold of it and walk in this freedom that you have purchased for us through the blood of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Spirit-driven life is what we're after, is what Paul's after. The Spirit-led life, the Spirit-driven life. We'll read verse 18 through 26 of chapter 5. Paul writes, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. You are free. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, or the deeds of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. Keep in step with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. It's what he calls the church. There's the command. Keep in step. Walk in the Spirit. Don't be beguiled into thinking that promoting your own self will gain anything. He says, walk in the Spirit. The command has been so clear when he talks about this. He's urging. It's not a command. It's do this and you'll find favor with God. He's do this in response to the favor that you have received, the grace that you have received. Live by the Spirit. Drinking poison will kill you or injure you, and you wouldn't do that. And he's saying, as a free person, freed in Jesus Christ, don't live according to the flesh anymore. Why return to a life of bondage and death and destruction and dirt and filth and the things you're ashamed of? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's what happens when you're filled with the Spirit, when you're led by the Spirit. Oh, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. We can't see our deeds, that whether they're in the Spirit or in the flesh, because we're living in these bodies. Sometimes we justify our behaviors that are sinful. We say it's just part of being human. Well, Paul wants us and helps us in this, giving us a user's guide on walking in the Spirit. And he does it first by providing for us or contrasting the fruit of the Spirit with what are the deeds of the flesh. And you think, I don't know that I have to be reminded of what they are, but I think we do. Paul didn't just say deeds of the flesh. He enumerated them. He expounded on a brief list. They're not things that are, obviously, it's not a comprehensive list. And for that, I'm going to try to touch on and still not add too much to it. But I'm going to read the scripture, what the scripture has to say here in just a little bit about what are the acts of the sinful nature. Because our tendency would be, when we can't see the forest for the trees and we're living daily, is to maybe look at a list like we see in Galatians chapter 5. When he says the deeds of the flesh are obvious, and we'll read through that list and we'll say, I don't do that. That doesn't pertain to me. But the scripture unfolds the truth about ourselves that we might not rely on ourselves. Our tendency is always to maybe our default switch is always to go back to the flesh, revert back to what we knew the best. And Paul, by contrasting the deeds of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit, begins helping us to implement this user's guide, in the sense that we can recognize when we're in the flesh and when we're in the Spirit. Have you ever recognized that? Have you ever had someone to say to you, I recognize that you are walking in the flesh? And instead of condemning you, they actually showed mercy to you. If you can understand and see more readily when you are thinking like the old man used to, thinking according to the flesh, if you can recognize that in yourself, you're more likely to repent and say, I realize this is true. I need you, God, to give me grace that I can walk in the Spirit. This is where we were intended to walk. If you had someone back in the... I was reading an article in a magazine put out by REMC, Bartholomew County REMC, and it was about the Underground Railroad and how when these slaves would be coming through out to seek freedom, many of them showed evidence of having been in bondage. Many of them had straps, or they still had remnants of their chains. Not all, but some. The first thing that they had to do was get the chains off, get the bonds, the evidence of bondage off of them, because they were being led to freedom. It would not serve well for a person who is being freed to remain in the chains. And so Paul is just working with all his might through the working power of the Holy Spirit in his life to communicate a message from the Lord himself to contrast or to communicate the contrast between the deeds of the flesh which once bound us and the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. He has said it over and over again in Galatians, you are free. You are free. And you've got, why does he have to repeat it? Why do you have to be told again and again and again you're free? Because we don't believe it sometimes. And when we don't believe it, we tend to step back into bondage because we think that's where freedom is found. Well, he begins by saying, telling us the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the sinful nature, the acts of the flesh, the works, the production of the sinful nature is obvious. The things the sinful nature produces, he says, are evident. They manifest themselves in these ways, some of the ways, and he gives them. But they manifest in natural ways. It's part of our nature as human beings. Now, at this point in time, he's talking to Christians, wanting Christians to understand the truth about man. The truth about man is, by nature, we are sinners. Even a believer who has been born again, who has a new nature, still has the old nature inside. And he says to them, that old nature will always produce the same things. Will always produce these things. He says it's obvious. Now the reason it becomes obvious because it's in contrast to something else. It's obvious because it's in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. It becomes obvious to the renewed mind. Because where it is, it cannot be known without there being regeneration, without having a new heart. You can't see the depravity of the sinful nature. Only as the Spirit opens your heart and gives you a new nature, a regenerated person, can you then begin seeing. So Paul says it's obvious to you who are in the faith. So Paul begins showing what these are. He begins, I think, the message that you should get out of it is for every human being or anyone, the best of men always are revealed as men at best. There might be good people, but even the best of people who are dead in trespasses and sin or living in the flesh or even a believer who's walking according to the flesh, the best of people are people at best. We need a work of the Holy Spirit, and this is what Paul says. You're not left alone. You are not alone. He says, and then he's going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. He's talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. Now he begins saying, here's when the Spirit, when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're led by the Spirit, this is what your life will look like, and we'll get to that here in just a minute. But suffice it to say, the unregenerate cannot produce fruit that's pleasing to God. Only God can produce the fruit that's pleasing to Him, and He produces it in a regenerate person only. Non-believers or someone that's not been born again cannot produce fruit that is pleasing to God ever in any way. And this is a message we hate to tell almost as people, as Christians, because we don't want to offend people, but it is the most helpful message we can tell. Well, what do you do with a list? And there's several lists in Scripture regarding the acts of the sinful nature. What do you do with a list? How can it be helpful? Oftentimes, Christians can be accused or are accused of being those that simply just can't get out of the old guilt thinking. We always have to be going back to laying guilt upon people. Well, these lists are here that we might lay them alongside our lives to check how we're living, to examine our own ways. Because have you ever, has it ever come to your attention sometime that you have been living or have been not living in, but have performed acts of the sinful nature? Has it ever occurred, has it ever been made known to you? You do something and you think, that was sin. It's because the measure of God's word has been laid beside your life. Almost you might say it like this, the mirror has been set up before you that you can see the truth about your actions. Well, this list is to help us to examine our ways. The benefit of the list is it teaches us that our problem is within ourselves. And that we always will be looking outside of ourselves for our solution. For the believer, we always turn to Jesus Christ while remembering the cross. We know God cares. The fundamental way we know God cares is through the cross of Jesus Christ. We look to the cross. And we were reminded when we look at the cross of our fundamental problem. We could not save ourselves. And when we see a list like this that reminds us of, I have these tendencies in my old man in the flesh. I can and will do these things. I need a Savior. Jesus Christ saves us through faith from first to last. Through your whole life, in other words. Every day is a walk of faith in Jesus Christ. The day you become so self-assured in your own spirituality is a day that I can assure you you're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. The Spirit always brings you back to Christ. The Spirit always sets you in a position to behold the radiance of the glory of God, even in your brokenness, and especially in your brokenness. The benefit of these lists, it teaches us the capability of the sinful nature. The capability of the sinful nature is destructive. Christians shipwreck their lives because of the sinful nature, not because of the Spirit. If you wonder why things are wrong, it will always come down to either your sin or the sin of someone else. If you wonder why things are, why you have a hard time relating to people, it's not because the Spirit has failed. It's not even necessarily saying you have failed. It's to turn your attention toward your neediness. You need God to grant grace that you can produce fruit that glorifies Him. The list teaches us that the truth about every human being. Sometimes we leave people alone, and rightly so. But sometimes we leave people alone in their sin. When the very frustrations that they feel in life and the depressions and the heartbreak and the frustrations, the only solution is to tell the truth about who they are. And yet we don't want to do it because we're afraid of offending. God's word is not afraid of offending people. He tells the truth that we might take a true assessment of ourselves and remind us of our need, both for believers and unbelievers. And Paul, though, in this list is characterizing this is the depravity of man. The list helps us to appreciate the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. The list we have, we've read it right here, verses 19 and 21. We're going to look at a few other scriptures real quick. It says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity. And by the way, to save time, I'm not going to define these. If you were interested, I think you'd find it to be a magnificent study. If you want to understand the nature of fallen man, read this. If you want to understand when in your own life you're starting to cross lines, because sometimes we'll say, well, it's not totally, I'm not totally acting out in this way. Read these words and you begin to find help and you can say, aha, I'm starting to venture off by degrees into walking in the flesh. And what is the result of this will be bondage, not freedom, darkened understanding, not enlightenment. and the sinful nature is always beckoning you. Come, indulge, come, participate for enlightenment. But Galatians 5:19-21, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, that marks our society. It marks the world, doesn't it? Why are there so many wars around the world? Why is ISIS doing what it's doing? Read the scripture and you'll see why. There are missionaries that preach the gospel. Christians that are dying who are preaching the gospel to ISIS because they know the only hope is not to have a voice in the world, but to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions. You see that all around. This is the way of the world. Drunkenness, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. It just goes on. You go to Mark chapter 7 to see Jesus' word on what comes out of man and the need for a Savior. Mark chapter 7 verses 20 through 23. Listen to the words of our Lord. He went on saying, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. See, the problem is here. It's not outside. Government always wants to make the solution. Well, we'll do this to make that person feel better. And the Church of Jesus Christ has the only true and viable message and answer to the problem. And it's not make something a program to help this person in here. The message of the church is look outside of yourself to one Jesus Christ. Jesus said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Now, the benefit of this list is, in case you are judging yourself based on Paul's list, and you missed one, he didn't have you included in that list, I want you to see that you're always in dependence. You must live depending upon the grace of God in Christ, living by the Spirit and not trusting in the arm of flesh. Romans chapter 1, you're all familiar with Romans 1. Paul gives a great list here in verses 28 through 31, is talking about fallen man. Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind. Fallen humanity is not enlightened, but depraved, to do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're filled with, not just measures of, but filled with. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. John Calvin said the heart is an idol forge, cranking out idols and I'm sure new models every day. Here's a different kind of idol. Just in case you think the scripture is completely exhaustive on acts of the sinful nature, know this. Paul addressed the things of the day. Things man never tires. This sinful nature never tires of producing idols. So he goes on. Invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. It's important for us to see these things because our tendency in the flesh is to, they didn't get me on that list with this thing, but a lot of things are covered. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 and 21, Paul says, to these believers, for I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. So he adds something new in that list. All demonstrating that the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and we see it all around. We hear it in ourselves. We can be in a group of believers, and all of a sudden you can hear it, and you go, ah, I'm not judging. But that person may be struggling right now. Listen to the words of the mouth. We were just talking this morning about the nature of animals, the nature of people. And I said, I think it could very well be that the nature of the, one of the gifts, because I think Zoe said, I wish animals could talk. I said, if they could talk, I think then at that point they'd be accountable, because they would be expressing something of their nature. I wonder if it's not words, the very words that make us accountable, because it's an expression of the heart. What would an animal say that we could comprehend? I don't know, but what do people say that we can comprehend? Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Paul covers these things. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, I won't read it due to time's sake, but in that passage, just the same way, he's looking at a church who is struggling with having dissension and factions within. He sees that here in this church, in the Galatian church, and it's a message that churches the world over need to hear as far as warning goes, because though we call on Christ, oftentimes we find our churches led by men who are walking in the flesh rather than walking in the Spirit. We find ourselves being people in a church wanting to be led in the flesh and not by the Spirit, because we walk in the flesh and not by the Spirit. There's a tension always. But what we have to embrace in this tension is the fact that there is freedom to be found in the Spirit. So let's just move on toward the fruit of the Spirit in the interest of time. He changes and shifts so wonderfully after he closes out. He warns them, and I got to tell you this. Paul says, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this, those who practice, whose life is a practice of acting in the flesh, those who practice the deeds of the flesh, live it out on a continual basis, and it doesn't mean you do all of them, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the production of the Holy Spirit living in you, it's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ living in you, is love, joy. This is what the production that is taking place all the time from the throne of God, and the Spirit of God living in us, indwelling us, these are the things that are being produced. Not where you can say, oh, I think I'll practice the fruit of love. The fruit, it's one fruit. And these are characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. The characteristics of the work, the production of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That is the fruit. It's a facet of, a characteristic of the fruit. He just gives us 9 facets here. And it's not an exhaustive list. There are other things mentioned in the other letters that we would see some of the many facets of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what these things that we see as characteristics or facets are in every believer. If the Spirit of God lives in you, having been born again, there is not a lack of fruit. But he says, live by the Spirit. He doesn't say, conjure these things up in you. He's saying, put to death, in other places in Scripture, put to death the deeds of the flesh. Battle them through truth and the power of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Look what he says. The fruit of the Spirit is these characteristics of the of the fruit of the Spirit are not obvious to the world to see, but they are in the believer, every one of us. He says all these things. Against such things there is no law. Against such things there is. You will find God will not protest when we act in the Spirit, demonstrating the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. There is no law against loving one another. There is no law against enjoying the joy of the Lord and being strengthened in that joy. There is no law against living in peace, having peace with God and peace of mind because you're trusting in the Lord. There is no law against patience, practicing patience, long-suffering in the midst of hard circumstances. There is no law, there is no protest by God when you faithfully trust Him through the hard times. There is no law against kindness shown one toward another in Jesus' name. There is no law against goodness. None. The world may be revile or rebel or push back against goodness because they're offended by right living, but God has no law. Even governments have no law against goodness. There's no law against faithfulness. It is always in season. There's no law against gentleness. These things are promoted in the kingdom. They are what characterizes citizens of the kingdom. Even while we're on earth. Put it out of your vocabulary when you say things such as, I'm just human. And that's just the way it is. You're walking in the flesh. Selfishness, selfishness, self-centeredness, thinking about what you want, how you're going to do it, is an act of the sinful nature. It's a deed of. I heard it when I was a teenager, and I hope that you hear it if you're a teenager. The question was, are you self-centered? What is the center of your universe? Is it you and what you want to do and how you want to do it, when you want to do it? Do you live to have everyone else serve you, take care of you, provide for you, to do everything for you? Do you find it to be difficult when you're asked to help? Is it impossible for you to look outside of your own head and see somebody else's need? I hated that. It was so embarrassing to hear it and admit it. I was self-centered. And I still struggle with it because I still have the flesh. But when I start to see it or someone reminds me of how selfish I was, I can immediately say, that is not of God. That's of the flesh. So what is the response to that? The fruit of the Spirit is because what I want to live, where I want to live, where you want to live as a believer, what you want to display is the fruit of the Spirit, the beauty of the righteousness of God coming through your life. This is the life of freedom that we were intended to live. To be free, to walk as Jesus walked. He was never in bondage except when they put Him in bonds for Him to be led away for crucifixion. When He was bound to the cross. But He was never in bondage to sin except at the cross when He was crucified. But He was the most free, is the most free, most wise, most glorious, most awesome being. And He has given us His Spirit, not in part, but in full, that we might bear the fruit of righteousness, having been given His Spirit. It is the fruit of freedom. And I hope and pray that as you think about these things, when He says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He says, since we're living, since we're alive continually through the Spirit, let's live in that Spirit. Don't think for a minute that you have no choice at times but to walk in the flesh. I had no choice. There is a choice for a believer. We do cooperate with God in our sanctification. We did nothing for justification, but He calls us to walk with Him, be led by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. And then He adds this one last thing: do not become conceited, provoking, envying each other. Because one man's claim to spirit walking can become a cloak of pride and conceit. A person filled with the Holy Spirit will be one who is humble. And they won't beat other people over the head saying, "Walk like me, everyone." They'll give glory to God and just say, "Walk in the Spirit. There's freedom. Come with me." But see Jesus and follow Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for giving us time to hear songs that were so uplifting and faith-building and helpful and refreshing. We thank You also for giving us time to worship You by hearing the Word. Thank You for giving us lists that point out our sinful acts of the sinful nature. And thank You for the perfect, wonderful, glorious revelation of the fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of the indwelling Spirit in us, and that we would walk with You, and that we would talk with You, depend upon You, that we would truly enjoy the freedom that You've given us. And let us identify the deeds of the flesh in our own body so that we won't walk into bondage, but be free. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.